I'm here today with one of my favorite people. This is Neil from the Off the Lip Radio Show. And one of my favorite people, the pillar of the Santa Cruz community, makes his annual pilgrimage to the Off the Lip Radio Show.
Yes, it is.
It's an annual deal.
It's almost a religious pilgrimage for me, Neil.
Is it that?
Yeah. And it's cool because we've got the social distancing going on, and yeah. We're outside.
Yeah.
So it's very healthy.
Very healthy. No one's getting sick. No, we're healthy.
Yep. You temperature checked me. You swabbed my nostrils.
I did everything. Right, I threw you in the shower.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you. You
swabbed you down.
Yeah. I'm wearing disinfected clothing.
That's good.
Yeah.
How's it going?
I feel healthy. I feel exhausted but exhilarated. That's what I'm telling people right now. Exhausted and exhilarated both at the same time.
Explain that, can you?
Yeah, well,
because
exhausted.
Did you just play a soccer match and won 10-0 and you're exhausted,
yeah,
exhilarated?
Exactly. Something like that. Well, you know, with COVID and everybody's needs right now, and then the fires and all the evacuee needs, and now all the financial needs and so on, and there's so much to do for people who are either in a clergy, a church ministry like I'm in, or any kind of an agency like Second Harvest Food Bank. So you have this real sense of purpose because you feel needed. So it's exhilarating because, man, I'm on mission. I'm living on mission every day because
right.
every day people are like in need, and we're able to help them. But I also feel exhausted for the very same reasons. You know,
so
we're all going 100 miles an hour.
Right. So instead of that small microscope that you're kind of under before, and you knew you were under it because of what you do, but now it's much greater, much thicker, and
you can say that.
Spotlight is more on you.
A lot of stuff. But everybody's going through that, right? With COVID and now these West Coast fires, everybody's feeling the pressure and the stress. And yet, you know, I was talking to a couple who lost their home, who are on staff at Twin Lakes. Eric and Sarah Swanson Dexel, they lost their home up at Camp Hammer by Boulder Creek. And I said, how are you doing? And they said, you know, equal measures gratitude and grief, kind of like exhaustion and exhilaration. They said, we're so grateful. We're alive and all our kids are alive and nobody was injured.
Right.
And we're being taken care of. We have a place to stay.
Right.
We're all good. Yet grief with the loss. I feel like every single human being right now feels that way. Right?
I ran to a lady today at the store I go into, and she said to me she lost her house, and you don't know what to say.
Yeah,
I mean, I said to her, you know what, I can say I'm sorry. That isn't but I really don't know I really do not know what to say to you. And then she became very positive, and she said, you know what, we're going to rebuild, we're going to move on. I have my job, blah, 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 and it's going to be okay.
Yeah, I've been amazed at the positivity that a lot of people are having. Although I've been told by Red Cross experts who work full-time for the Red Cross and just travel around the world at disasters like this. We had a couple of them at our church for the evacuation center. And they tell me that what happens is the first few weeks there's an exhilaration. People are positive, we're going to rebuild. And then as the reality sets in,
there's a real trough of
depression and exhaustion. One thing you can tell people, Neil, and that I hope everybody tells people, is go to there's a lot of great agencies, a lot of great churches and other organizations that are really helping fire victims out. And one of them is the one I serve, Twin Lakes Church. They can go to TLC, for twinlakeschurch.org/fire, TLC.org/fire. And there they can find out how they can help fire victims, but also if people have lost possessions, lost a home, if they need housing, if they need material help, we can help them.
Yeah.
We can. Yeah. And so they should contact us.
I think there's a lot of people out there that want to help, that can help.
Yeah. But we can also help people.
There's also people out there that want to help who don't know where to go to help people.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
So they can, even those people who say, I want to help, they can come to tlc.org/fires.
That's right.
I have a business that sponsors the show, Beach Nest Vacation Rentals. They provide Airbnbs to people who want to come here on vacation. They canceled, they have like 52 homes.
Wow.
They canceled everyone's vacation, gave them all their money back.
Wow.
And let people who lost their homes stay in their homes.
That's amazing.
Pretty
is cool. Amazing.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, one of the things that we did after the fires was have an evacuation center at the church that I served, Twin Lakes Church. A lot of places in the county did evacuation centers, and it was wonderful. It was awesome. We loved it. One of the coolest things was seeing how many local businesses stepped up, came. We didn't even ask.
Yeah.
Just showed up to help.
Right.
I had a list that I put on my phone of some of these businesses because I feel like I should give them a shout out. Is that okay with you?
Give them a shout. Yeah. Of course you should.
But Merge 4 donated socks.
Well, actually.
Piles and piles of them. Really?
Yep.
These, wow.
Did you get a pair?
I did not get a pair.
Oh, these are for you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, thanks. Are they a sponsor?
Those are from Cindy Busenhart, who's been around.
The Busenhart's are amazing.
Busenhart's amazing people, and she sponsors the show. And I got to give these orcas
fantastic.
To you.
And Merch 4 showed up with a van full
of
socks because one of the things we said was people need clean socks and underwear. And they donated as many as we needed.
They
were amazing.
That's what she's like.
East End Gastropub showed up with a lot of meals, Chianti's, Togo's, Zamin's, the farm.
So everyone ate well.
You know what? What we did was all these restaurants kind of contacted us, local places. Yep. We hear you're doing an evacuation center. We want to help. We're locals. And so we scheduled them out, and they would show up at dinner time or breakfast time or lunch time with stuff
food.
For
for everybody.
The 100 plus evacuees that were still
Are they still
us.
There?
No. Everybody gone. Has found a more longer term solution, and some of the people got to go home. So
it's been a strange year, as we both know.
Such a weird
year. Should we just touch on bits and pieces for like the COVID?
Whatever
for example.
You want. Yeah.
COVID.
Man.
I mean, of all, we all need to get to. We always enjoy coming to Twin Lakes Church on Saturday or Sunday.
Thank you.
Right, everyone enjoys it. It's part of the community, and you take what you need and you leave behind what you don't want.
Right,
but to be part of that community, with the community not there, how are people coping without that, without it not being there? Especially people, older people. I think, imagine old people who are not familiar with how to use a Mac or whatever.
Right.
You know, have an iPhone or
Well, you know, it's interesting when this started in the middle of March. With no warning, we actually, before the county shut things down, the weekend before, we decided to go proactive and shut down the live church services because we were hearing about this. And we thought, just in an abundance of caution, we shouldn't have people show up if there's the super contagious thing going around. So we let everybody know, you know, via email and phone calls and so on. Hey, we're gonna live stream all three services. We're gonna be there live doing our thing, but you can only watch us on the internet. You can't come in person. And since then, that's what we've been doing.
How is that for you? Because you see, when you're up on stage, you relish that whole. It's a performance.
In a way,
but it's wonderful because people like to see that. That you don't just stand there and it's like stoic. You perform.
Right.
And people love that. How is it for you, without an audience?
Well, you know,
I mean, would Richard Pryor be? How would he think? Richard Pryor be like Eddie Murphy? Like, there's no one here.
If a tree fell in the forest, does it make a sound?
Right.
Yeah, if Richard Pryor was doing it without an audience, is he still funny? You know, I actually don't mind it because for years before I went into the ministry, I was in radio, and I got so used to just sitting like we are right now.
Right.
Although we're not in a studio, we're out on your balcony, and we're hearing the surf. It's gorgeous outside, but. I, for years, it was just me with a microphone in a room. So in some ways, it reminds me of that. When I'm preaching now, I'm on stage, and the cameraman is probably 30 feet away from me, like in the back of the room.
Right.
And that's usually the closest person to me. So I'm really distant.
He's where he always is, right by the door.
Right. And so I'm speaking to this, and people can see it at tlc.org/live, by the way, if they want to do it. But so for all those months, it was just live streaming, and we don't record it ahead of time. We're really literally at the normal church service time, Saturday at 6, Sunday at 9, and 10:45. I'm there live, just preaching and stuff. And every once in a while, I do something to try to really, really make it clear this is live. Like between services, I'll just say, We're going to throw it open for live Q&A. Just text in your question, and I'll just kind of riff on your question and do it live. So that's been fun. Now, 4 weeks ago, we started being able to meet again outdoors, not indoors. So every Sunday morning now at 11 a.m., we do a service outdoors.
You bring your deck chair.
That's right. You just bring your lawn chair.
Right.
And you sit out sort 6 feet away from everybody else, and the band is there live, and I'm preaching live. It's very low-tech, very low-key. We just set up a sound system, do it for an hour. But people love it. So that's been really super fun. We ask people to RSVP ahead of time so that we know how many people to expect.
Yeah.
And then starting in 2 weeks, the first weekend of October, we will start offering indoor services again on Saturday night only to begin with.
Yeah.
And then we'll slowly roll it out to the other three services. But legally, according to the COVID guidelines right now.
And who's minding those guidelines for you? Who do you listen to?
Well, I mean, we listen to the county health department.
Okay, that's
so. So the county health department's our other Bible right now.
Right.
And we're just listening to what they say. And what they're saying right now is you can do indoors, like restaurants, churches, gyms can do indoors at 25% of capacity or 100 whatever is less. And since our auditorium can seat well over 1,000 people, 100 is less. So we can only have 100 people in there per service.
First come,
first
serve.
But that's a start.
First come, first serve.
Well, you can go online and RSVP so you don't show up and there's no space. So you can start coming again in October.
Yeah, for sure.
But until then, you know, we're still doing it live online. But it's been fascinating. Actually, our in-person attendance on the weekend was about 3,000 between the three services. When back in March, now it's more than double that.
On Facebook Live?
On Facebook Live and YouTube
and
Vimeo
else.
And all these other places that we do it. So actually, the engagement has gone up because like you, now we get people participating from all around the world.
Right.
And so it's awesome.
Right.
I really enjoy that.
Right. My audience, I mean, this is the because, you know, people are available. They're at home. They're here.
I think that's part of it. What else is there for people
nothing
to
else
do?
To do. They want to go,
right.
You know.
Right.
Every time I do a music show, a Bambi band calls me from Santa Barbara to San Francisco. Can I come out here and
awesome.
Play? But how is it financially for the I don't mean to be, you know, you
no,
you
yeah.
really touch on it. Financially for the must be a burden for the church.
You know, the first few weeks of the pandemic, it really fluctuated wildly in terms of the giving to the church. And now it's settled down to a new normal that's very close to what it was before, actually. So I think most people so far haven't lost their jobs yet.
Yeah.
And some around here.
Yeah.
So most people, it's kind of settled back to a new normal in terms of the general giving to the church so we can still help people who are coming in need. Where we've really seen, of course, the big hit is our camp, Camp Hammer,
which was beloved. Yeah. Did that get destroyed?
Pretty much. It did.
Yeah,
yeah, pretty much destroyed.
Yeah.
There were 30 structures that were destroyed up there at camp. There was one that looks untouched inside and out in the middle of the fire zone.
Right.
I don't know why that happens.
And the one next door is ruined.
Is ashes.
Gone. Right. That's very, I know. It's so strange how that works.
So there's two or three that survived like that, but the rest of them are... I got to go up there last week to look at it, and they're just... It looks like a nuclear bomb went off in terms of the destruction. Everything is just ash gray. Even the ovens and the refrigerators, things made out of metal, they're all melted together. The thing, like tin and aluminum, ran like water, and now it's hardened again. So it just looks like it's the silver water.
Something out of a Superman movie or something.
Yeah, that's right. Or Terminator or
something. Right, right, right.
It's amazing. So that's a challenge because now, obviously, you know, there were thousands and thousands of people here in Santa Cruz County have gone to Camp Hammer for a summer camp or for a science camp.
Right.
But now it's gone. It was right next to Big Basin State Park, really surrounded by Big Basin. And Big Basin, same fate. it also was largely destroyed. Now, the redwoods will be fine.
Yep.
But all those pines and those other trees, it'll be a long time till they recover.
Before this even started, the COVID started, you guys prepare for a disaster, whether it be, you know, obviously the last one we had here was an earthquake. Are you guys practice something or plan for something? And have it in your back pocket ready to go if something happens?
Well, we did a couple of things. We had Valerie Webb, who you know,
yep,
who's on our staff, go to a Red Cross and a Salvation Army disaster training course and then came back and sort of debriefed the whole staff on what she learned from that. Of course, we all thought the next disaster would be an earthquake.
Right.
So we were more prepared for that. But then the biggest thing that we did with the church that's really paying off is I just said in a couple of sermons, I just said, listen, everybody who's listening, either in person or on the internet, if you have housing that you would be willing to let people use during a disaster, we were thinking earthquake, like if you have an ADU,
yeah,
a granny unit,
right,
if you have a condo,
right,
that you just use for vacations, if you've got an Airbnb,
right,
and you would be willing to let it use in terms of disaster, we want to create a list. So we did that like 3 years ago.
So you already had something like that.
And then we had a volunteer come in who is an amazing volunteer. And she spent days just calling every single person on that list to see, to update it.
Yeah.
So now what we've been able to do is we have had several people come to us and just say, well, my house burned up and I'm not insured.
Right.
And so I need housing, and we've been able to connect them. So far, we've found housing for everybody.
Right.
Based off that list. So, that's been the biggest thing.
And let me ask you a quiz question, because my son went there, and that's Twin Lake School.
Yeah.
How are you guys coping with you know, obviously, from kindergarten, preschool to sixth grade?
Eighth grade now? Yeah.
Holy smoke.
Yeah. Yeah, so when it first happened, like every school, we were distance learning only. And again, we're taking our cues from the county health department. What they tell us we can do, we'll do. If they tell us we can't do it, we won't do it.
Right.
And if we can do it, we do it the way they tell us to do it. I mean, I want to be a professional, by the book,
right,
COVID compliant operation.
Because there were churches that said, come on down. There were,
yeah,
churches that wanted to hold services,
yep,
and
yep,
forget the whole part.
That's
forget
right,
the health department.
That's right. I don't think around here,
but
the ones that made the news were down in Southern California.
Okay.
There were a couple of large churches that just said, we're going to do
what we want to do.
Personally, I mean, everybody's got to do their own thing. I mean, you know, it's America. You do your thing and then you take the consequences. But from my point of view, that's irresponsible,
right,
and not setting a good example. So that's not the way I'm choosing to lead our church. So what the school did at first was distance learning only. And then at the start of this school year, the Santa Cruz Department of Health and the Santa Cruz County School District, they just said, listen, it's going to be distance learning only. But then we started to hear about places like the YMCA, other school districts that were putting together distance learning support pods. Of
yeah,
10 or 12 students or
right,
fewer that were stable.
Right.
And they would have an in-person assistant, adult assistant,
right,
who would be there to help them with their distance learning. And that
right,
was especially important for the younger kids.
Right.
And so these were springing up all over the place. And so we started doing that too. These distance learning support pods. And that's what we're still doing for the older grades. But this week, we started being able to offer in-person instruction again because Santa Cruz County went down into the next tier.
Right, right.
And so we're offering COVID-compliant in-person instruction for kindergartners and first graders only right now.
Right.
Then next week, we're going to expand that to the rest of the grades.
Other meetings that you had at the church were helpful to people, like 12-step meetings.
Yeah.
Are they still in place?
Yes.
They are.
Mm-hmm. So they were distance only,
right,
at first, Zoom only.
Right.
And now
they're meeting.
We actually contacted the county health department. And I want to give Santa Cruz County total credit because they've been awesome, in my opinion, to work with. They were awesome supporting our evacuation center for the fires. They showed up like three times a day asking us, is there anything you need? Can we help you? They were amazing. And during the whole this whole COVID thing, we call them probably every single day. And we just ask them, can we do this? Can we do this?
Right.
Can we do this?
Right.
And they give us an answer right away. And a few weeks into this, several people that I know and trust and love that are involved in our 12-step program at church were just telling me, man, people are falling off the wagon. It's really hard for people with the Zoom-only thing. Some people loved it, but some people didn't like it at all.
Right.
And it didn't work for them. And so we just called up the county and we just said, would you be willing to consider 12-step groups essential services that can meet in person, socially distanced, 6 feet apart, outdoors, all that kind of stuff? And they got back to us right away and they said, yes, of course.
Yeah.
So now they're doing it outside, 6 feet apart.
Right.
And we're also continuing to offer some on Zoom because just like you with this show, we had some people start to join our 12-step group via Zoom that said they had never been to a 12-step group before. They'd been afraid to, but they felt safe because now
it
was
home.
By Zoom. And they said, it's changed my life. So for some people, it really worked.
Yeah. Well, for some people it would work, some people wouldn't work. They need that. They need that one-on-one or face-to-face.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. How's your wedding business? I say this, your wedding biz, because my son's supposed to get married this month. And then he's like, nice wedding. They wanted a nice wedding, but they had to cancel it. And they canceled it. They just don't want anything. They don't want anything to do with 2020.
Right.
They don't want to
be
10 years ago. We married in 2020. They're going to wait. Hopefully, there's going to be a bright side of 2021.
Right. Well, everything like weddings, funerals, memorial services, baptisms, all of those kinds of things that would normally be more of a celebration with a large number of people. I'm looking right now from your deck at the beach where we normally do our gigantic end of summer baptism.
Right.
You know, we'll baptize 100 people, 300 or 400 people will show up.
Yeah, it's a party.
And, it's a party with live music and all that kind of stuff, but not this year. So what all those things are still happening just with smaller groups. Like I came down here and did a baptism, but it was just a man and his fiance and their parents.
Right.
Just, a small COVID compliant group. Weddings, we're doing weddings like literally just on the steps of the church outside with 10 people.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you something, to be honest with you. I've had couples tell me they were grateful because they felt like we didn't realize how much pressure was on our shoulders to do it right.
Right.
To do this big multi-thousand-dollar wedding.
Right.
And they said now that we can't do it
and
we have an excuse not to do it, they're so much happier, actually, because they can just go to the steps, get married, and that's
it. Yeah, call it. That's
bring,
it.
Bring their two closest friends,
that's
their
right.
parents.
Right, that's
no,
it.
No worries. And the same thing with funerals. I mean, and this is more, to me, it's sadder, really, because at memorial services now, if you're outdoors, there's not really a limit to it. But if you want it to be indoors, there can only be 100 people. And so I'm doing a memorial this weekend where there'll just be a smaller number of people and it'll be on Facebook Live for everybody else.
Yeah.
And that's where I really wish everybody could be in person.
Right. A friend of mine's stepfather died last couple of days ago.
I'm sorry.
And she's a longtime member of your congregation. And they were the Millers. And they used to go to Twin Lakes Church when you were Twin Lakes. And I just said to her, I just said to my friend, just have your mom email Renee.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just have her email. Just send have an email. Is that, along with that, is that, because you were always at church and you were always available. You were always available for people.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't do the sermon and get in the car and take off. Right. You were always outside,
right.
And people were able to talk to you. Are people able to do that nowadays?
They come to the live service now, the outdoor service.
Do you have a staff that's taking on? I'm sure maybe an influx of emails and phone calls and stuff.
All of that has grown exponentially.
Right.
I don't know how it is for you, but for me, all of those ways. Facebook messages, Instagram messages, emails, texts, phone calls. It's all like, I don't know, maybe 10 times what it normally is.
I do show, before COVID, I do a band, become a play at the boardroom or whatever, and I have an audience of 4,000 or 5,000 people. I did a show last weekend. The audience was 35,000 people.
Wow. Wow.
It's, Because
people are at home.
And people want music.
Yes.
They need what you have giving. They need what you're giving. And, but people want music. You know, TC and I remember, this is pretty, we did a, right when COVID started, I was sitting home doing nothing, bored, you know, I'm looking at YouTube videos, and I see the Beatles on the rooftop. I see the Beatles on the rooftop at Abbey Road in London doing Get Back. Remember that?
Yes.
So it's Beatles up there, just a great song, Get Back, and he's doing, and Paul McCartney, and I'm like, I'm gonna do that. So I called TC. I said, TC, let's do rooftop concert on top of the boardroom. People came out of the woodwork.
Did you do it?
Yeah, oh yeah, we did three.
That is
the owner
fantastic.
Of the building says you can do three, and then you're done. Because someone's going to fall off.
Right.
And someone's going to have too many beers. Right. And we did three. And we could see, we're standing on the corner. We could see for, you know, half a mile. And people came out of the houses.
I love
we're
that
We're dancing
idea.
In the streets. Sheriff's driving by. They don't. No one said a word. No
I
one
love
said a word.
That idea.
Yeah, it was fun. And people still came out to me. Oh, that was, we needed that, right? When we were all locked, it was on a lockdown with people stuck inside.
Right.
The people came out and just started dancing. It was pretty cool.
That is awesome.
Yeah,
what a great idea. We should do that too.
Yeah, we should. You should do
just
one.
Some kind of a parking lot. Get on the
roof of
one.
I think I emailed
buildings.
You during the beginning of the. I think I emailed you or texted you. I don't remember when you had the evacuation. I said, you know, let me bring a band over there and have some music for all the people that were in the parking lot.
You know, we ended up doing that.
Did you?
Yeah, I didn't do it with your band, but we ended up having people come in and do music. We had movie nights. We had somebody come by and just kind of do movie nights outdoors on a screen. We had little support groups meeting every night. It really turned into a community. It was the coolest thing was so many of the people who were at the evacuation center told me, I don't want to go home. This is the first time I've seen live people in 5 months.
Right.
You know?
And they felt like they had a home.
Right.
At that point.
Right, right.
When the, yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. So how are you doing, during
great.
All this?
Yeah,
are you? Are
I don't
you
know. I put one foot in front of the other.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I just
right.
keep going.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, I get people call me all the time from, I get incredible guests that come on the show. I just got a phone call today where, Neil, I need you to interview Scott Tapley. I go, what, Scott Tapley? I know that name. What does Scott do? He was just swam in this channel.
Oh my gosh!
He's from Aptos.
What?
On his fourth try. On his fourth try.
Wow!
You know, I mean, if you fail three times, four times,
that is amazing.
Right, right. I mean, you could right.
He's
I mean,
from Aptos.
Yeah.
I want to interview him. That's
oh
fantastic.
Yeah. There's another gal. Her name is Gretchen Firmer, and she just sat here a couple weeks ago, and I interviewed her. She swam Lake Tahoe.
Oh my!
Not the,
gosh.
The long ways.
Wow.
And she was with Kim Rutherford, who was sitting right here, who swam from Monterey to Santa Cruz.
I remember that.
Backwards.
That's amazing.
The wrong way, against the current.
Incredible.
Yeah, so there's four people swam the Monterey Bay.
Unbelievable.
Four people swam the Monterey Bay. They're all women.
Wow. Wow.
So Scott,
yeah, and the first, I think, Florence Chadwick, if my memory serves me correctly, was the first person to swim the English Channel.
I think it was probably.
And that was a woman who was the first.
Right.
To accomplish
I have
that
total respect for these athletes.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
I remember that because she made it within like 2 miles.
Right.
And she gave up.
Because
and
the current takes you sideways.
Well, she gave up. She said it was because it was really foggy, and she said psychologically she couldn't see.
Right.
She knew she was close, but she couldn't see
right,
it. So
right,
she
right.
said it was just so. She couldn't overcome it psychologically.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
So she said she waited until the weather was good, and she could see the shore, and then she made it. But
what's your most memorable accomplishment as lead pastor at Twin Lakes Church?
Oh, my goodness. That's what a question.
It's a horrible question.
Gosh. That is a tough one. I mean, the first thing that springs to mind for me is the big new school building that we built a few years ago. It's really... It's high tech and up to date, and I think it's giving those kids a really good school experience. It'll be a little different for them this year, obviously, but I mean that's like the first thing that just leaps to my mind. But and I've been gratified to write these kind of Bible adventure books. They're like travel adventure books.
Right.
Only you know you go to places that happen to the Bible. I've been really enjoyed doing those because I've gotten to go to places that the normal tourist can't go,
right.
You know, down inside archaeological excavations and so on. So, I mean, those are two things that popped to my mind. But
it's a tough. That's a typical.
I'd probably think it's something else. What's been your greatest accomplishment?
Oh, as what? As far as
here, just since you've moved here to the West
Coast.
Oh,
to Santa Cruz. Moving I think that was my accomplishment was just the move itself, with God bless my mom. After university, I stole her car.
Oxford University.
Yeah, stole her car, took the money out of her wallet.
Are you joking?
No. And then I drove, went to the airport, and Freddie Laker, I heard his name on the radio today, Freddie Laker had like six planes.
That's right, I remember that.
And he flew from Gatwick, London to London to, it was like 150 pounds.
Right.
And you get first come, first serve.
Right.
And a conductor comes by and you give him the money.
Gosh, I don't know what a
somewhat intelligent person is getting on a plane and going, you know, 6,000 miles with no money in his pocket. And what was his thinking as he was about to arrive?
How old were you at the time?
23.
Wow, old enough to know better.
Accomplishment. Stupid.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. That is amazing.
I don't know. That was just, and then you're like it's like sailing. It's like, you know, you enjoy sailing. It's just like it's a tack. You tack, and go off in a completely different direction.
You're just zigzagging.
The black sheep of the family. Because in England, people do not move. That's where you live, and that's where you will live.
Well, you know,
that's
my family's from Switzerland, and it's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
You don't move.
So you and I can get a plane tomorrow. I can go to this is my friend Phil Schofield's house.
Right. And it's still his house.
It's still his house. Exactly where it is.
Yep.
9 Tongdean Road. That's where he lives.
Yep.
And I take you there, and he'll be there.
Yep.
But here, you know, it's...
In Switzerland, even if, like... You make it big, you get rich and famous or something, you still don't move because then everybody's like, oh,
that's
look
right,
who thinks he's something.
Yeah.
And
I spent my time there. It's beautiful.
It is
but
gorgeous.
It's very, very
regimented.
Set in their ways, man.
Yeah, they are.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
it's beautiful.
I think
and
that's
the food's good.
Oh,
the best food.
Is fantastic. Yeah. But England's gorgeous too.
Yeah.
It's
beautiful.
There. It's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My daughter went for a year to Oxford.
Oh, she did.
Your old stomping grounds.
Yeah.
Man, what a beautiful town that is. It's just fantastic.
Yep.
So did you ever think you'd end up here on the West Coast?
Yeah. My parents brought me here when I was 16, and the whole Beatles, the whole Beach Boys and the palm trees and this and it just, I fell in love with it. And one thing else I fell in love with, this was the icing of the cake. My birthday is February 6th.
Really?
Okay. My brother and sister were in June and July. So in June and July in England, it stays light till 10:30.
Right.
You can have a party outside.
Right.
It's beautiful there. You know, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, my birthday, February 6th, it's dark at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, it's so hard for Californians to imagine this. In February in England,
it's dark.
The sun really never gets up.
It's not 3 o'clock.
It's either dusk
or
dawn.
I could never
all
have
all day long.
Right. I can. My party lasted 5 minutes. So it was okay,
right,
kids.
Right.
Yeah, we're,
that's right. We're done.
We're done.
It's bedtime. It's
3:30. Yeah, and I always still bugged me. I'm like, now I can have a party, and it's, you know, not that I've ever had one, but
oh, Neil.
No, I'm not. I'm fine. What was my question?
We got to throw you a birthday party next year.
I saw something online today, and I go, I got to check this out. Undaunted.
Undaunted. That's right. We're just launching
confidence.
This that's right.
And what did I write here? But wait a second here. Undaunted, confidence, that's okay for you. But aren't a lot of people at the end of their rope?
Yes, they are. Oh, a lot of people are. But that's why I think we need this. It's a new series. I just kind of previewed it last weekend. We're starting it this weekend in all of our services. I am fascinated by undaunted people, like these people who swim the English Channel or Lake Tahoe or the Monterey Bay. How do they do it? How did Bethany Hamilton have her left arm bitten off by a shark when she was 13 and went on to become a championship surfer, unbelievable surfer, and the head of a ministry? How made two movies, wrote a book. How did Abraham Lincoln overcome extreme poverty and a nation even more divided than ours is right now to become the greatest president? What makes these people tick?
There are people like that. I think that type of thing happens to them, and they blossom.
It almost makes them better.
I have a friend of mine who had lost his legs, and he goes all over the world skateboarding and surfing, the Mavericks. Another friend of mine, Jeff Denholm, who lives up in Bonny Doon. And he is now, he invented, and I hope it comes to fruition, non-toxic fire. What's the red stuff they put on the fires? The
like fire retardant.
Retardant, yeah. Mm-hmm. A non-toxic fire retardant.
That's amazing.
But he lost his arm in the middle of the Bering Sea on one of those, you know, fishing boats.
See, that's the thing is, I want to get inside their skulls.
You should.
You know, because we all need a little bit of that right now.
He's lost his arm, but now he's surfing Mavericks, and he's diving and skiing and, like, it blossomed.
Yeah. So what I'm doing in this series is I'm taking... There's one book of the Bible that's very unusual. It's 2 Corinthians, and it's the Apostle Paul, who was an undaunted person himself, just powered through all kinds of stuff, unjust imprisonment and whippings and beatings and all kinds of stuff, and went on to change the course of Western civilization, really, in many ways. But what makes this book unusual is that he's writing to some friends and he's writing about his emotions and how he overcame these obstacles.
Right.
So I'm using that as a jumping off point, and then every single week I am interviewing undaunted people on Zoom as part of the sermon. This next weekend I'm interviewing Dan and Candy Whitney. I don't know if you know Dan. They were here in Santa Cruz. Now they're living up in Oregon. So he was the Silicon Valley hotshot junior executive. And he is mountain biking at De La Viega here in Santa Cruz.
Yep.
And there'd been a freak little rainstorm the night before. And he slips, hits a stump while he's going downhill really fast, goes over his handlebars, breaks his neck, paralyzed from the neck down.
For life.
For life.
Right.
So his life changes this.
Right.
So I go to visit him in the hospital. Valley Medical, I think it was, over in San Jose. And from... hour one, he had this undaunted spirit. I mean, hour one, he was like, well, I'm paralyzed now. I hope I can overcome this, but even if I don't, what's life going to be like for a paralyzed guy with a lot of willpower and a lot of faith? And that was his attitude from the very first moment. And now he runs a camp that he calls Camp Attitude, great name, for kids who have these challenges. And he has total credibility because he's in a wheelchair himself. So I'm interviewing him and his wife about what got them through that time.
Because
I think people right now need to learn lessons from these people.
Because you brought it up before. When you have a disaster like this, you start, someone loses their house. They start off and it's, we're going to be fine. Mm-hmm. And then there's that. That honeymoon's over with.
Right.
Now what are we going to do 3 or 4 months from now? So he wasn't like that.
No.
He just...
I watched him. I mean, truthfully.
He just had his foot on the gas.
He had his foot on the gas the whole way. Now, he'll say, listen, man, I had tough times where I kind of got depressed, but not despairing like I've seen some people get. And so I talked to him about that, and I show some footage of both him in the hospital and then this incredible camp that he's got up in Oregon, which incidentally is being threatened by the fires up there now. It's up in Sweet Home. But every single week I'm going to interview somebody else and just go, what is the key? What's your secret? How does your faith help you?
Right.
What have the people around you helped you? Because I think, a lot of us are entering the trough of depression now with this COVID thing and the fires on top of it. And we need to know, how do we keep persevering? How do we keep having a bright attitude in the face of all this? And B, the people around us are feeling the same way. So we need to know, what can we say that's going to be encouraging? You know, I want to be a hope agent.
Yeah.
I want to be an encouragement agent to people. They don't need anybody else to bring them down.
Right, no.
And so that's what this is all about.
Yeah.
I need it. I need to hear it. So
I do that with the show. I think it makes people happy. I think it makes a lot of people, you know, just for 5 minutes. 10 minutes. I do these sunset sunrise videos all over Santa Cruz for people.
That's
and the
awesome.
Reason I do them was, it's a true story. I was down at the wharf one December morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. The sun's coming up, it's freezing cold. Sun's coming up, beautiful. Right. I'm at the end of the wharf, and the sea lions are barking. Mm. And I'm standing there, my hands frozen because I'm got my camera like this.
Right.
And did my video of the sunrise, and I left. And I scroll through what people have to say. Oh, I'm from so-and-so, I'm from here, this is fantastic, I love Santa Cruz. Because people just love this town.
They do.
And this lady, there's this whole script this woman had written, she goes, Neil, this is so-and-so from Nottingham, England.
Wow.
She goes, my son is 13 years old. He has autism.
Oh.
And he hasn't said a word, one word, since he was 6 years old until just now when he heard the sea lions.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm like, I go,
wow.
I reread that. I'm like, you got to be kidding
that
me.
That is incredible.
Yeah, so I wrote back. Oh, my, you really? She goes, yeah. She has not said a word until he's heard those sea lions.
It's going to make me cry.
So now what I do, and I go, oh, I don't feel like doing a sunrise video. I'm get your ass out of bed.
You think of that kid.
You think of the kid.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You think of the kid. And you're like, who never
that
know?
That is powerful. No, you never know. I hear every week
and the
week
people you help.
Stories.
I mean, you must.
No, I mean, I. Well, I mean, I don't know if I can share it because I didn't ask her permission, but I did share from I did hear from somebody just a couple of days ago who a young widow who lost her husband. There's been too many of those this year in a tragic accident, and she watched it this last weekend, and she just said, you know, I was ready to give up, and I needed to hear that. That's exactly
right.
What I needed to hear.
Right.
So that's you think of those things. That's what makes you go on, because I get plenty of the critical emails too. I don't know. Do you get any of those?
Nah. I get my favorite button on the keyboard here. It says
delete.
This one here.
Have I ever told you the story of my friend Dan Adrania?
No.
You're talking about undaunted people.
Right.
So do you have a couple of minutes?
Yeah.
So my friend Dan, here in Santa Cruz, he now lives over in Sacramento area, but it's one of my favorite stories to tell because Dan was on his way to a Christmas Eve service at our church, and he got this cough, a tickle in his throat, and he could hardly get a breath. And so his teenage daughter says, Dad, you got to go get this checked out. Go to emergency. No, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
But finally he goes to emergency, passes out in the waiting room, and he doesn't wake up until almost March, I think it was. This is Christmas Eve.
Like a coma?
Yeah, he goes into a coma because it turns out that what he has is a rare form of viral pneumonia. It's the same kind of pneumonia that killed Jim Henson of the Muppets. Right. And you probably have heard the story before, but because I've told it before at church. But while he's in his coma because of gangrene, they have to amputate different parts of his body. They have to amputate both of his legs. And so then I get a call. It was either late February, early March. I get a call. Dan just woke up. No medical intervention.
Nothing.
He's awake. So the last thing you know, you've got a tickle in your throat, and it's Christmas Eve. The next thing you know, it's March 2nd, and you don't have any more
legs. Oh, my
God. So I go into the room, and I'm thinking he's just going to be devastated. But he's one of these guys like my friend Dan Whitney.
Right.
I go in. He has a great sense of humor. Always did. Which, by the way, humor is really important in getting you through things like this. But I said, I was thinking he's going to be devastated. And I said, Dan, buddy, how's it going? He goes, well, Renee, I'll put it this way. He goes, I woke up, I looked down, and realized I'm not half the man I used to be. First thing he said to me. And his attitude's just been amazing. So he gets these prosthetic legs. And when he's wearing long pants, you can't tell they're prosthetics.
Yeah.
The science of prosthetics has advanced so much.
Right.
You can run, you can skip. So he gets these prosthetic legs, and it looks like he's got just like a normal, person when he's got these on. But it's gotten him into trouble at times. He told me right before church on one Saturday night, he goes, I just got to tell you what happened to me at Great America. So he and a friend of his go over to Great America that day. It's a summer, just to ride some rides, just for fun. Like if you and TC did it, right? And so they're going on the single rider line so they can get on these rides fast. So he goes on this roller coaster they had there called Invertigo, and he gets on the single rider line. So he's paired up with about a fourth grade girl that he's never seen before in his life. And remember, he's wearing long pants with his prosthetics on. Well, this is a roller coaster where the seats dangle, the tracks above you.
Yeah.
And it gets shot right out of the gate.
Right.
And it goes through loops and twists and turns.
Right.
And then it goes straight up and it stops. And then it goes backwards through the same loops
goodness.
And twists and turns. So he gets on, and when you're riding this, the chairs are set up so that they face each other.
Yeah.
So you can watch each other scream.
Yeah.
And so they count it down. 3, 2, 1, go. It blasts out of the gate. Dan's legs instantly whip back over his shoulders at a biologically impossible angle. His legs are just pointing the opposite direction because of the G-forces.
And the people are freaking out.
Well, the little girl who's facing him is just starting to freak out. Like, she can't believe her eyes. And then they go through the loops and the twists and turns, and Dan's legs, now loosened up, start spinning. Dan goes, it was like the Roadrunner's legs in a Warner Brothers cartoon. They just start spinning like this. And then they go to the part where it stops, and he's facing forward, and the little girl's facing backwards. And so facing forward, he just stops, and his pant legs whip forward, and his legs pop out of his pant legs.
Right.
And they go over the little girl's head,
right,
just into the clear blue California sky, just like two missiles. And now his empty pant legs, they're going backwards, are just whipping toward this girl like flags in a stiff breeze.
Goodness.
And he says, now she's grabbing her own legs, screaming, no, dear God, no! And when it came to a stop, he just had to sit there. He wasn't going anywhere. And he said the little girl just ran away screaming. And I said, Dan, didn't you tell her that they were prosthetics?
Right.
And he goes, here's his answer. Renee, I tried to, but I was laughing too hard. I mean, that is
a great
undaunted
story. That's
personality.
Yeah, for sure.
You know? He's just like taken. I asked him one time, what's your secret? He goes, and I love this answer. He goes, listen, these are the cards in the deck I was dealt.
Right.
I can't change the cards in my deck.
No.
So I just got to play my hand well. And I thought, that's a great analogy.
Yeah.
We just got to play your hand.
Right. Get out of bed in the morning, one foot in front of the other. Keep going.
Yeah. And he still has a great attitude to this
day.
Yeah,
we all have to.
Yeah.
We got legs and arms. We
still
have
to. And right now we're all facing this, and we just all have to face it, you know?
TLC.org/fires.
Fire. Singular.
Fire.
Right. TLC.org/fire if you want to help or you need help.
Okay.
We can help you.
Okay. So it's available.
Yes.
No
yes.
pressure. Mm-mm. There's nothing.
No.
Here's my last question. I remember meeting you. I remember seeing you on Pleasure Point. You had a nice jacket on, looking very good, dapper. And I'm like, dude, we got to take you surfing. But I remember Brent. Is it Brent? The place in the band? The lead
Trent.
Trent.
Right,
he's like, I don't think. I saw him one day surfing. I'm
he surfs.
I saw him. I go, hey, we got to get Pastor Renee out here. He goes, I don't think he's into surfing. I go, well, I'm going to keep barking at him to see if we can get him to go surfing or paddleboarding.
But I do love paddleboarding.
Yeah.
I do stand up and I do kayak.
Surfing's not your cup of tea?
Well, listen, I tried surfing. This is bad for your audience, but I tried surfing a couple of times.
Yeah.
I know that's not enough, but I got impatient because it was hard for me to get up.
Yeah.
That transfer point just flummoxed me every time. So I just went, well, there's such a thing as stand-up boards. Why don't I do that? Because then I'm already up.
Yeah, you're already up.
But I should probably try surfing again.
But thanks for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
It was fun.
Thank you for having
me. Did we miss anything?
No,
did we give anything?
I think so. Thank you so much. Thanks for what you do for the community.
Oh, thanks for what you do for the community. I have a blast.
And thank you to the community. All those restaurants, all those great companies like Merge 4 that came by when we were doing the evacuation center at church. It was a true show of community unity.
Yep.
All these people coming by who helped out in just so many incredible ways.
I'm going to give a shout-out to a couple people here. I'm going to give a shout-out to my buddy Fig from Surf City Sandwich. God, I should never have gone there in the end of the day, especially since I'm going to the doctor tomorrow to check my weight.
That's
the
a
chicken,
great shop.
The Chicken Club. I want to thank Cindy for Merge 4, Chill Out Cafe, where they drive all the fatties, and Beach Nest Vacation Rentals. Thank you so much. Beachnest.com. They did so much for the community when the community was hurting. Curtis and People's Coffee. Curtis took on a dog. He's 15 years old and blind and saved that little dog. Thanks, Curtis. Dogs love you for that. Pizza One and Aptos. Right down the street here is fabulous. Jamie Jansen from Santa Cruz Core. Numa from Aloha Island Grill. Great Hawaiian food. I'll see him tomorrow morning. Listing stack for your Surface Ear pods. Grab some before winter. The Kayak Connection. Great time to go to the Santa Cruz Harbor, Moss Landing, and grab a kayak. Rogue Pies. Nothing to say about the Rogue Pies. It's delicious. RoguePies.com. And my dear friend Sean Rovi from Farmers Insurance, right down the street from Twin Lakes Church. And delicious Holy Smokes Barbecue. Best barbecue in town. Right there at the East Cliff Shopping Center. So thanks to you all. And my next show is going to be Thursday with the Svelte Welty Trio right here playing for you live. And then Friday night, I have the Hijinx Reggae Band playing at the Boardroom and plenty more shows to come.
Thank you for having me, Neil.
Thank you, sir, for coming on the show.
God
Love
bless.
It. It's always a good time. It's your pilgrimage.
It is.